Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Autumn is in the air and Manscaped is here to ensure that you don't carve your pumpkins when you're grooming. By pumpkins, we actually mean your boys. Yeah, Stephen and the twins. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to change the way that you approach caring for your balls. And great news, they've just released their products in the UK, Canada and Australia. Now, let's not forget, it's the best...
We're not bothered about the Australians having an eye.
Are you not?
No.
Nah. Well, neither am I, actually.
They can chuff off.
The Lawnmower 3.0 Trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. Lads, have you ever had a grooming accident? And be completely honest.
Only the odd nip and a little bit of needless blood for a bit, but nothing like ridiculous. No sort of horrific Halloween horror film scenes, mate. And I'm too scared to
go too deep.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I am actually due a little bit of a tidy up down there, so I'm looking forward to using my as previously used Manscaped equipment.
Fantastic. Yeah. And Chris,
I would second what Brooksy said. I don't think anyone can lie if they do look after themselves and say they've never had a little accident.
Yeah.
But due to having the new Manscaped product means I will never have an accident again.
I love it. Well, look, they've got an ear and nose hair trimmer as well. It's called the Weed Whacker. They've got the Crop Care Kit. We like that, by the way. I've used that ball deodorant. It's brilliant. Really, really nice. I don't know. I don't really know why, but it feels nice and fresh down there. It's very good. Crop Mop Ball Wipes, Crop Cleanser Body Wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair, on your head. Not that I've got much of it, so mine will probably last me a while.
Be careful, mate. Be careful.
I just thought I'd get that in before you guys started as well. And if you suffer from stank foot or you stand on your feet all day, there's a product for you, the Foot Duster Foot Deodorant. It's a free gift as well when you order this. So that's pretty good. Loads of stuff to go at as well. And the reason that we're kind of mentioning this to you is because we've got a code, haven't we, Chris? Is it Barmy Army, I'm guessing?
We have, yes, absolutely. So you can get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code Barmy Army in block capitals. Make your balls a priority this fall.
Masterfully done. And like we said before, I used mine the other week and you can eat your dinner off it.
Hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of the Shackles Off podcast produced by England's Barmy Army. We are rattling through some really good guests over the next few weeks. So if you've downloaded and subscribed, we'll expect a few podcasts dropping into your inbox. Jack Brooks, Chris Millard with me, and we've got another great guest. And we're not going to try and pretend on this intro that actually we've already recorded the interview and we're putting it out this week. And England have just flown to South Africa this week, and we recorded it before England had flown out to for that ODI series. And it's Sam Billings. And Sam Billings is, well, an incredible servant for England. He's still under 30 years old. Seems remarkable. Seems to have been around forever. Brooksy, you know Sam Billings fairly well. He was great on the pod. Really interesting guy. Engaging, funny, lively. He's got a lot of stories to tell as well because he's played with some great players. But above all, just a really nice lad.
Oh, yeah, top man, Greggy. I like the way you've just given up on the magic of radio and thought, nah, we're just going to admit defeat and just...
There's no smoke and mirrors. We can't be doing that, can we? Come on.
Fair enough, mate. Billings, top guy. This it was obviously a really entertaining chat, isn't he? He's very funny, very lively. Loved his Danny Morrison impression. Also probably one of the poshest blokes currently in the English first class game as well, so that's always entertaining. But just a really guy to engage with. I'm glad he agreed to come on.
I'd second that, Greggy. I just thought he was very interesting just to hear almost how much of a long career he's had as a 12th man all over the world, and finally he's 29 now, and he says quite openly about his what he wants to do in the foreseeable future, and I think he's quite excited by that. And he speaks so well, and he loves the game. He's so passionate about Kent and about people like Zach coming through. And you obviously heard Zach on the podcast before, and it's just great to hear someone who is his captain just reinforcing how good he will be, and talking about Kent as a place and a destination for cricket is pretty cool as well.
That was that was interesting, that wasn't it? Actually, I mean, saying, well, why can't we have some of the test matches and stuff here? That is, I think that he made quite a good point, didn't he, really, on that?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And he's just very, very passionate man about the game, but very posh, like Brooks said, really, really posh. Like your Yorkshire dulcet tones and addition of mine and Brooksy's everywhere traveller vocals were quite well complimented by
just a chameleon, mate. I'll just fit in where I need to.
Yeah, just a natural.
The crown impression that Billings was pulling off. Greggy, before we go, I just want all the listeners to make sure that they check out our YouTube channel and make sure that they log on and have a look at the video of this, because your hair today is unbelievable. I think I've wanted to mention it throughout the full podcast, but
yeah. I can see eight
strands spiking up, and they're like vertical. It's like Gareth Gates circa 2002, but with a lot less hair. Like a bit of a flower pot.
It's not great.
It's been a while since you've been hammered for your hair, isn't it?
Well, oh yeah, it was only last episode or something. Jeez.
We'll tweet a picture out with the show.
Thanks very much. Thanks. I mean, great promo that. Yeah, much appreciated. We actually got some messages in. This is a nice swift change of subject. We had Simo, I think, who messaged in saying, "Love the pod, lads. Loved Daffy. What a guy. Top man is Daffy. Funny. Why didn't he just do..." Now, this is a good point, actually. Why didn't he just do D for Defratis instead of Diana Ross and just stick his whites on? Well, actually, I think that's probably a bit of a cop-out. And also, the story wouldn't have been being told 20-odd years later, 30 years later, would it?
Also, how much of a knob would you look turning up to a party in whites if you're an international cricketer?
As yourself as well, yeah. That wouldn't have worked. So, yeah, so that was a very poor idea. And also, enjoy the pod, lads. Keep going with them. That's from Tim in Ryslip. And Tim in Ryslip, I know exactly what you're doing there. That's a thick of it reference, which probably actually, I'd probably only 10% of the listeners are going to understand. So we'll move on from that one really quickly. We actually started our podcast chat with Sam Billings by asking him, why isn't he a professional rackets player? Which just reinforces your point, lads, about how posh he is. So, so I'll tell you what, let's get into it. But in the meantime, if you are listening to this podcast and you have been meaning to get in touch with us and you just keep forgetting or you keep putting it off, we want to hear from you. info@barmyarmy.com, or just tweet us or tag us on Instagram or comment on any any of the sort of promo videos that we do. We put loads of bits out. We would love to share some sort of stories of cricketing woe or just any sort of random chit-chat, to be fair. So, yeah, so get in touch. Anyway, is that it, lads, housekeeping-wise, before we get into Sam Billings? Yes?
That's crack on, mate. Crack on, Crocker.
I love that attitude. Fantastic. Anyway, right, let's get into it then. We're talking to professional cricketer Sam Billings on the Shackles Are Off podcast.
Slick.
Sam, thanks for coming on. The first question that we usually ask all of our guests is, what got you into cricket? Which is kind of a boring question, but I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you, why aren't you a professional rackets player? Were you just like the worst in your family at rackets?
Well, there's only two of us who play, so and let's be honest, technically I haven't actually lost to Tom yet. He's current world champion, but I now refuse to play him at rackets. Whereas at school, I used to beat him all the way through because I was 2 years older than him. So now, actually, technically, I'm unbeaten against him. But as probably many people don't know, actually, yeah, my cousin is world champion at rackets, which isn't exactly the most played sport around the world. But still, he's a phenomenal, it's a phenomenal achievement, and he's very, very good, as you'd expect.
Yeah. Is he a cricketer as well, then?
Well, he thinks he is, yeah. He's got a lot of my old kit. And he plays a bit various kind of different jazzer teams or whatever. So I actually went and watched him last year and he smoked 100. So yeah, he can play. He can definitely play.
Just... Turned it on when the pro came to watch him. Is that how it
works? Well, yeah, he's like, I'm after your job. Yeah. So... No, he's a good lad, talented boy.
Love it. So you're a Kent boy through and through. You're obviously the skipper down there at the moment, and it's going, you know, enjoying it and whatnot. I didn't realise this until I was doing a bit of research for the pod, Sam, is that you actually didn't think that you were going to be good enough. You kind of went to university and you thought you were miles off it, and you ended up at Loughborough, and it was only there that you actually worked on your game to get yourself to a professional kind of standard, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't very good, let's be honest. At school, I used to chip it to cover for like 20, get a pretty 20, and that was me. Not much has changed. if I'm honest, growing up all through kind of age groups and stuff, obviously I'm the same year as Stokesy, J-Roy's year above, but Rooty, Butler, Stokes. So not a bad year group. And I was always kind of... Rooty and I were the smallest by a mile. We were about 5'2" until the age of probably 18, 19. Thankfully, that has changed. And anyway, I had a really good technique. I just couldn't hit the ball off the square, if I'm honest. And then went away to university, didn't get given a contract, got just an academy contract, and just thought, you know what, if I'm not going to make it as a professional cricketer, at least try and get a bit of education behind me. And you never know at that point in your career how it's going to pan out. So that was the best option for me. And I think that's a great thing about cricket. I mean, Brooksy is a perfect example as well. There's different ways of getting into the professional game. And it's really important to keep those options open all the way through, because you never know how long your career is going to be, but you never know if you're going to make it as well. So not everyone is a Ben Stokes and at 16 knows you're going to be an absolute superstar. So I think it's really important, probably the last serious thing I say on this podcast, that actually it is important to get a different kind of experience, not just your kind of professional game.
What year at university, Sam, did you think that, oh, shit, I'm going to have to turn it on here. I think I'm going to be quite good again. It's like third year when you've done all the partying.
Yeah, absolutely. I got my priorities straight. Don't worry about that. No, it was actually... So my first year of university, I actually was really ill in the summer term. They thought I had meningitis. and I had a liver infection and things like that. So it was pretty mucky. I only played a bit for the Kent second team at the end of that year. So I didn't actually play in my first year, but it was the second year I captained Loughborough MCCU, and my first game was actually against North Hants, my first ever first class game.
Did you play?
I think the big dogs just, you know, chop and choose whether they want to play.
Hang on a minute.
Dave Willey definitely played, but I got 100 on debut, first class debut, and all of a sudden...
No, I didn't play them. No, there's no way I played them.
Exactly. I teed you up. Bloody hell. Any danger? And yeah, I got 100 on debut. And I think it was one of those moments that I proved to myself more than anyone else that actually, yeah, I could potentially get a go here. And at the time, like I said, Kent hadn't offered me a contract and Notts were very keen. Chris Reid was obviously coming towards the end. And yeah, I was very close to leaving Kent at that point, actually, and going to Notts. And thankfully, I kind of stuck in there and Kent gave me a contract at the end of that year. And quite a good story from Loughborough, actually, that got a call from Paul Farbrace. Martin Van Jaarsveld had broken his finger. So, Sam, yeah, you're in the squad for Friday. It's 2020 at Cardiff. First game, well done. Really well deserved. You're going to play... and ballot seven. Awesome. Thanks a lot. Didn't tell him I had an exam that day, so at 2 o'clock. So there was no way, something had to give. So I called my dad up. I go, Dad, bit of a conundrum. I've got an exam at 2 o'clock, but the game starts at 4 o'clock in Cardiff. And I've been called up, Farbs or whatever. Dad said, okay, well, I'll see you at Cardiff then. Put the phone down. That was it. Got 0% in the exam. It was absolutely fine. Didn't turn up, but yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
Well, that just puts pay to your going to uni for education, mate, when reality was you're just going for a bit of student union piss up at Loughborough and a bit of cricket.
Life experience.
Correct.
You get definite life experience. They took it serious at Loughborough. Was Graham Dill your coach?
Graham, yeah. Dill was my coach and he had a huge influence on me. There's no doubt about that. He worked... I think he selected a few that he really kind of got behind and thought, you know what, I'm going to push this bloke so he can kind of crack on and he can really give him the best chance possible. So I owe him a lot, actually, at that point. He was exactly like the kind of coach. And we became really good friends, actually, throughout his illness. And then he obviously passed away in my last year, which was devastating. But, yeah, it was... For any aspiring sportsman, if you want to study, I think Loughborough, in my opinion, is the only place you can go.
Yeah.
Should go.
Yeah.
Still there now, really, aren't you? With the England, when you go for England camps, you go, do you pop back in the student union and have a quick snake bite on your way?
Oh, snake bite. WKD blue. Stick to the floors in the nightclub in there. It was a dusty joint, but it was great fun, yeah. I think it is important, though. Certainly, young guys now get thrust into the professional atmosphere so early. Can take it too early, too seriously, too early with that kind of stuff. So, it was great. It was a great time. Amazing 3 years.
Love that. So, just talking about young players now, Zach Crawley, colleague at Kent, friend of the podcast as well. He's done great, hasn't he? It's unbelievable to think, what is he, 22, 23? And, I mean, in the summer, that double ton.
45.
Yeah, I mean, he just seems so much older, doesn't he? And he got me with a great joke on one of our previous podcasts as well. But you must have been watching on really fondly when he scored his double ton in the summer.
Yeah, great summer is the understatement of the century, isn't it? There was something going around on Twitter that Rob Key is chairman of the Zach Crawley Appreciation Group. I'm definitely president. I'm maybe surprised that he obviously got a double 100 that early on in his career against that attack, but I'm not surprised how well he's done consistently. It's a credit to him, the hard work he's put in. And I mean, we've been saying this down at Kent 4 or 5 years, what a special talent he is. And I think that the thing that sets me apart, we do joke, he is 45. mentally. I mean, he wears some terrible clobber as well, like, which thankfully he's started to work on, which is great. But he was always, it's his mindset, which is brilliant. And you see that in all the awesome kind of players around the world. It's just the mindset of the bloke is that he just wants to be the best he can be at cricket. And he will give himself the best chance. And he's done that from a very young age. And yeah, I'm really, really pleased for him. I think he's, I mean, I don't want to pile the pressure on too much, but he has got every attribute, the kind of, the world's his oyster, really. He can do what he wants in all formats of the game as well. He's not just a Red Bull cricketer. He's phenomenal. So captaincy as well, down the line, there is no doubt that he's got leadership potential as well. And I'm sure you guys could kind of see that in the way he comes across. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He does think about the game. He thinks about other people and has a lot of very, very good attributes, like I said.
He, I mean, when the T20 started again, when the Vitality Blast came on again in the summer, and he came in and just smoked it in that as well, didn't he? And it never really occurred to me why. I was thinking he's not really had any kind of sniff of a white ball chance either, has he? And he was just like, he just clonked it for Kent Spitfires in that.
Clonked it? Is that a technical term?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. This is how technical we get on this podcast.
Like that? I'm gonna
use that. Sheffield,
Greggy. Yeah. Clonked it. Yeah, I like that. He did clonk it, definitely. He just thinks about the game. He looks at other at the game as a whole and see how it's moved forward. He's always looking at, for instance, they're going to India. So even this last couple of weeks, training-wise, a huge focus has been on spin and game plans, and he's always thinking forward. And that's with T20 as well. We had over lockdown lots of chats as a group on Zoom, of course, about 2020, how we want to play our cricket. And he was a huge part of that. You can tell he really does think about the game. And I mean, there's thinking about the game and obviously then having the skill to back it up, and the way he played was exceptional. So like I said, I think the only difficulty is he's got the difference in batting kind of numbers, and the sheer depth in the white ball game at the moment in this country is phenomenal. I mean, there's probably 15 batters that you could pick for England at the moment that you could actually go, yeah, have an opportunity, and they deserve the opportunity because the numbers stack up in county cricket. So it's going to take him a little while longer, but let him just focus on the Ashes and win that down under for the lads. So
fingers crossed, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sam, you said there about the opportunities at the minute and the amount of players in the ODIs. I'm sure we'll get onto it later, but for you as well, personally, it's like, oh, bloody hell, did he have to come around with all of these absolute guns in the ODI squad all the time? Is that right?
A little bit. I think this year has obviously been a breakthrough summer for myself. I've been around the group a long time, 5 years now. And I think, well, the last time I played consecutive ODIs before the summer was like 3 years ago. And then before that, it was my first series in 2015. So it's been a consistent, I've been on the fringes, a game here or there for a consistent period of time. And again, it's just getting that opportunity and really grasping it with both hands that I probably haven't done in the past. So it was, for me, it was great to show my capability this year. And like I said, back it up performance after performance, because I mean, look at my stats from a county cricket point of view, there's not much more I can do in the white ball game in terms of backing up my numbers throughout that. So there's just a group of us that, like I said, you've just got to earn that opportunity and take it and grasp it with both hands.
I was going to say 100 against the Aussies helps with that, doesn't it, Sam? You know, that gets a few people on side, particularly the Barmy Army.
Absolutely. And it was one of those moments, I'll be honest, that last year was, without doubt, Brooksy knows, with injuries, my whole perspective has changed really from players being injured. I hadn't had a serious injury before. And then obviously missing a World Cup, home World Cup, where we won. It was a pretty dark year, if I'm honest, for myself. So what was pleasing about this summer was that actually all the hard work that I put in over the last kind of year or so to really get myself back on the park and improve over that kind of period of time has all been worth it. And look, it's, yeah, there's not my, no one can take that away from me, 100 against the Aussies now, albeit in a losing cause. But that's what you dream of as a young kid growing up. You want to score runs against them more than anyone else. So, yeah, it was great.
You've proved you can do it now, mate. And you say you've been around long enough. You're still young enough to get to the next World Cup. And you keep yourself fit and young, don't you? So,
absolutely, Brooksy. Don't worry about that.
Future's bright for the Bilbo, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the aim anyway. We've got two 2020 World Cups coming up in the next kind of year and a half. Obviously, the Ashes, with all these COVID restrictions, there's going to be bigger squads, more opportunities. And look, it's up to me. I think the ball's in my court for the first time ever that I can really use my opportunities to my advantage. And look, if I know that if I play well, I offer a hell of a lot to any team that I play in. So that's the plan moving forward. Just got to stay on the park and don't do any silly dives and pop my shoulder again.
Yeah, so enough, mate. Get behind the stumps again. Overrated building. Building's overrated, mate.
But, you know,
you offer a lot off field as well. You're a good bloke. We've toured together before, haven't we? And I know how good you are around the boys. You're a very popular member of the squad, too. No doubt.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. I appreciate it.
Brooks has just called you Bilbo then, which is, you know, fine, fair enough. And I want to talk to you about nicknames in a second.
The Bilbo. It's the Bilbo.
The Bilbo, right.
The Bilbo.
Okay, I mean, there's a story there, isn't there? I also want to get your thoughts. I know Michael Vaughan calls you Prince Harry, right? And I'm not sure if you like that or not. You don't seem that bothered, but I've just sort of thrown it out there to you. As long as you don't defect to the...
Meghan Markle.
Yeah. How can you whinge at Prince Harry?
Exactly, I'm taking that. He's royalty and he's married to Meghan Markle. I'm very happy with that.
As long as you're not defecting to the USA and playing for them in the next World Cup, we're not bothered. We're all right with that. That's
fine.
Imagine that.
No chance.
So what's the story behind the Bilbo then? What's this all about?
No, Bilbo has come from... obviously, I was 5'2" till about the age of 18.
Right.
And so it's just, I was a tiny little hobbit, annoying little hobbit. So it's unfortunately stuck. And now I'm just under 6 foot. I'd like to claim 6 foot, but I can't.
Okay. Oh, Wikipedia says.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, is he really 5'10"? No chance. Really.
6 foot. Taller than that. Easily. So, yeah, that's pretty much the Bilbo. And it's just stuck, unfortunately.
Fair enough. You've given up a bit of franchise cricket as well. You kind of made a decision. Was it about a year ago? You just said, right, I'm not playing any for the next year. And obviously you didn't foresee the sort of strange circumstances around sort of the IPL and all that kind of thing as well. I suppose it made sense at the time. But in hindsight, I mean, you've had a great summer. So that's probably looking like a good decision, that, isn't it now?
Yeah, so the thinking behind that was simply because of my shoulder, missed a lot of cricket. And even, well, the last few years, as I said earlier, that I've only played kind of sporadically for England. I don't want to go to a competition at the age of 29 now and sit on the bench consistently. I've got to play cricket consistently to improve. I haven't actually played that much cricket. Dan Lawrence is 6 years younger than me. And he's played more first-class cricket than me. So... it's really interesting that people think I've been around a long time, but haven't actually played that much. I'm probably a 26-year-old in terms of cricket. I've done a lot of 12th man, very good at mixing drinks, making tea, all of that stuff. But it comes a time where I've just got to be playing, and I'm a better player than just sitting on the bench and doing that. So that was the thinking behind it. Obviously, no one knew what was going on. So I have absolutely no regrets, and it was a really good decision from my point of view. And looking forward now, I've got opportunities lined up and really excited to get back into that kind of world, but and play some cricket.
Perfect.
Great that you've got your focus as captain of Kent. Are you captain of all forms, or is it just one of
them? I am. All forms, yeah. Even Red Bull. Unbelievable. I mean, wow. They are really that desperate.
I trust Matty Walker's judgment, mate. Matty Walker's an absolute legend, isn't he? So, listen, anything I would say about Kent was like quality outfit, produce a lot of their own quality players. Look at the obviously lads like Crawley yourself, DBD. You got Dennis has been around a while. You got young Cox this year came on the scene.
Ollie Robinson's
obviously showing good things, and you've even got that youngster Darren Stevens still whirling away. Must be a pretty good environment down there to for new lads coming in. Obviously Jack Lean's joined you as well. One of my old Yorkshire teammates, fitted in really well. Yep. He says it's a really good culture down there. So what's it like playing for Kent and leading those boys?
I absolutely love it. It's been an amazing kind of 3 years. And it's one of those things that's actually really helped my cricket shift my focus from day on, day out, to wanting to play for England and striving so much to worrying about your own stuff that you can't do that. It takes actually the pressure off. Doing that, and you have to worry about the whole team and moving forward as a team. So it's helped me. I know that other players in the past have gone the other way, and it's taken that focus away. But for me, it's definitely helped. I think Kent was, because of various different finances and everything, it used to be a very captain run club for various reasons. But 3 years ago, the structure completely changed, and the captain and coach both needed more support from above, really, and Paul Downton coming in has been a huge addition. So in terms of the structure that we've got down there now, it's great. He strategizes, he really plans forward, and then it's up to Walksy and I to really look after the group of players that we've got. And a lot goes into the recruitment, as you said about Jack and people like that. We're never going to be a county that can buy in 5-6 players in a winter and go into a bidding war. We have to be really selective about who we go after, and also where we can maybe offer more than those really big clubs with big squads is actually an environment that we want people to come and be a really fundamental part of it, and add a lot to that environment and give people opportunity in all formats of the game. And I mean, look, we're seeded 3 in the championship now, which has been a long way since we were in Div 2 before when we got promoted. Before that, I'd never played Division 1 cricket. So we're back where we need to be in that. We've always been a really good white ball side. We just need to translate that into winning trophies now. So what we built, like you said, building our own players as well from the academy, we have to do that. We have to invest in our own and give people opportunities. And my job as captain is to try and provide an environment to make that seamless. And ultimately, we want to produce England players. We went through a period where that wasn't the case. Everyone was worrying about playing in Division 1 and playing for these test match grounds. Well, actually, we've got Joe, myself and Zach now all playing in the England team, and it means absolutely nothing. It you can play for Kent and other counties now and perform consistently for them. It's ironic that Essex, Somerset and Kent, the top 3 seeded teams in the championship, are non-test match grounds. Yeah. So that's really pleasing from our point of view, is that we're actually now a place that we can say, look, our boys are playing for England. There's no reason why you guys can't come here, really make a name for yourself. And someone like a Jack Leaning, I always felt that playing for Yorkshire, he actually had a really good couple of years in all formats for you guys, and was always that first guy out when all the international boys came back. And I felt really kind of sorry for him. But now we're trying to make him refine that form. And again, who knows? He can get on a Lions trip potentially if he performs well. Other guys, Ollie Robinson, Matt Milnes, 2 guys on the Lions. And then we've got Hamidullah Quadri and Jordan Cox in the 19. So all of a sudden, we've got international representation throughout. And that's really pleasing for me. And it makes my job a lot easier that we've got guys who really want to strive for that. And it's about getting the right people in the right environment.
You've definitely got some shrewd signers, like you said, like Milnesy and Harry Podmore before him, like good performers who weren't probably playing enough for their initial teams. What's one thing I want to know, knowing your idea, what's your captaincy style like? What are you like behind the scenes in the traps? Like, if you have a bad day, you come back and start kicking things around and go, oh, bloody hell, boys.
Oh, bloody hell. what was that? Get the shotguns out. No, I don't. Look, it makes you grow up big time. And I think you as a young player, when you're coming through, you're so focused on yourself. I think most people are pretty emotional as a kid growing up. And as you know, I'm a very passionate guy about winning. I'm very competitive. And so in the past, that did overboil. That's something I've worked on hugely. I've leant on Morgs, who is literally the coolest man in the world. Donny, it was another influence I talked to about him, actually saying it to him and saying, well, were you always this calm? And he said, no, I used to kick things. I used to chat rackets like Federer did as an example. And it, over time, you just learn how you've got to deal with people and manage people. That's not going to help the situation. No one means to do badly. If they do, they're out. So it's kind of, it's something that has really helped me develop as a person as well as a captain, and something that is very enjoyable. The challenge that I'm very aware that I still need to work on different things. And that was definitely one thing initially that I had to kind of address.
Not many better to learn from those two either, are they?
Yeah, sorry, shameless name drop.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah. Do you want to pick them up?
You're a close personal friend of Federer as well.
Yeah, Fed to me.
Sam, one of my questions for you about your current Kent team is probably arguably the most integral part of your team. Darren Stevens, how many years are you going to get out of him? Yeah, how many years has he got left in the tank?
50. Love the man.
One thing I've learned, and I think everyone's learned, is not to write that bloke off. Mentally, he still thinks he's 23. That's genuine. Him and Zach have basically swapped roles. It's amazing to have that love of the game still burning as much as it does, and for him to turn up to training every single day and then go straight to the golf course as well. Not many 44-year-olds can do that. So it's an inspiration really to anyone. Actually, age is just a number, and he keeps performing. So we are in the performance business. At the end of the day, if someone's performing positively, you should be rewarded for that. If you're not, then obviously there's repercussions to that. And as you get older throughout your career, unfortunately, time does become less. You get less of a chance to have a bad run. But look, he keeps performing. Whenever we said last year that there wasn't a contract on the table, and he goes, right, well, I'm going to show you. And then all of a sudden, sorry, that was last year, yeah, against Yorkshire. Got 5 for in a double 100. Cheers. I mean, so we did it tactically, of course, to get a few performances out of him. But
management.
Exactly. So, look, you can't write him off. It's great that he keeps on doing it, and long may it continue. Look, I'd much rather have him on my side than face him, that is for sure. Because
comfortably, mate. I'm the opposition, and I know
you just smoke him everywhere, don't you?
Well, no, I don't, mate. Some of our batters, and I know a lot of county batters, a lot of them have budgies back because no one knows how to play them. They don't know what to do. Like, some really experienced players with very good careers behind them still have no idea what they're doing against them.
Corruptie, have you got 10 years left? You got 8 years left? Years,
I might not live for another 10 years, let alone play cricket. obviously Steve-O is, for me, a bit of an inspiration, and like, age shouldn't be a number on performance. I get quite annoyed when people lose their jobs, or especially in sport as you get older, especially now when lots of cricket is a lot fitter than it used to be. Like, he's what, 44?
Yeah.
He's
going to be 45 this year. Unbelievable.
But he's probably as, I don't know how fit you would say he is, but he's probably a fit as a man of mid-30s or so, maybe.
Absolutely. And he looks after himself. I'd be very honest with that. Yeah, he is old school. He likes a beer at the end of the day if we've had a good day. He does chun on the bike, and he's still, I was doing hill runs with him when we're allowed back to training. And I mean, yeah, he wants to keep going. I think as soon as you wake up and you don't have that drive to do that kind of stuff, that's when it's time to pack it in. And look, he's still performing. So Long may it continue. And he wants to win something. He said that pretty openly at Kent and be around that group. And he's been around a very long time and he knows that we're not far away. So, yeah, hopefully we can do it for the big lad.
Love it. I love that. Now, here's a bit of a question for you, Sam. So I'm going to put you on the spot, right?
Absolutely. Go for it.
I was having a look, doing some research, as I've already mentioned, right, on you earlier. I go on ESPN Crick Info.
Justifying his job again. And,
yeah, justifying my place here, right?
That's all we're doing.
Correct. There's on ESPN Crick Info, you're listed as having played for 21 teams. 21. And I'm not
loyal. Look at the loyalty, lad.
He's a one club man. He's a one club man.
One county.
Do you reckon that you can name all of them or not? There's a couple of stinkers in there as well, by the way. It's absolutely stinkers.
Oh my god, I'll give it a go.
Go on, have a go. And you can, and if you are listening along to this podcast at home or watching along on YouTube, you can, well, if you're watching, it's very funny because you're going to watch Sam squirm, so very, very amusing. But yeah, go on, Sam, go on, try and list some. There's some obvious ones.
So would that have like Kent Academy on there, won't it?
Yeah, so it's got Kent second 11, Kent. So I'll tell you what, we'll get won't count some of those, but some
it's
of the
about 20 probably, isn't it?
Some of the rascal ones, I want you to see if you can chuck some of those out. So I've got some in mind.
The Lagos Leopards aren't in there. right, the Northern Warriors T10.
Yeah, that's in there.
The Delhi Daredevils.
Yeah.
What was that other one, the other T10 team I played for?
What was that other one?
Loyal.
Yeah, you got
the one before. No, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, actually, yeah, don't put this out.
Are you thinking of the Bangla Tigers? Is that who you're thinking?
Bengal Tigers. There we go. I saw the orange helmet. I actually captained them as well. That's terrible. Right, Chennai Super Kings. Kent.
Yeah.
Sydney Sixers.
Yeah.
Sydney Thunder. Haven't played for them yet, but I'm going to. England.
Yeah.
Right. Islamabad United.
Islamabad United, yeah.
I've played in the PSL.
Sounds so much like a football team.
United. Jeez.
England Lions on there, Greggy?
Yeah, but that... Yeah, England Lions, I mean, that'll be on there, won't it?
Yes, that's on there. That's on there as well.
Loughborough MCCU, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
MCC?
MCC as well, yeah.
That's what I mean,
this one I feel a little bit embarrassed to... I mean, at the time as well. I played for the World 11.
Yeah, you have. That's on there.
I burgled. How did I burgle that? Playing with the goats of the game.
And who did you play against? Who was playing? Who was?
It was against the West Indies at Lord's. I mean, it wasn't a small shindig either. So, I played for that. Right, come on, think about this.
Oh, brilliant!
That's class. The ICC World 11 and Loughborough MCCU Second 11 on the same sheet.
Yeah, perfect.
Quality. What about, there's a couple of white ball England colleagues of yours who you played on their teams. There's Team Morgan and Team James Vince listed on there as well.
Oh, I mean, that is just a joke. I'm never getting that, am I? When was that? That was... Was that West Indies? Don't know.
I wondered if you knew. I mean, this is what baffles me. I mean, I can tell you.
Any others that I should have got?
Oh, yes. There's the Kandahar Knights as well. Should you have got them?
The who?
The Kandahar Knights.
I don't know who he's going for.
I've never played for them.
Have you not? All right. We need to have a word with Mr. ESPN then.
Yeah, that's a false accusation. Get George DeBell on it. the Kandahar Knights.
Kandahar Knights, apparently. Kandahar Knights.
Yes, I've, Unless I've been signed by someone and I don't know about it.
I'll speak to your agent, mate, unless you flew in for one game.
okay, cool.
There you go. Anyway, I just thought that'd be quite... I mean, that's a...
I want to hear more about the World 11 game, do you?
Yeah, talk to us about the World 11. How did that come about? Who was playing? Who were you playing against?
So they needed a keeper at late notice. So I got a call-up, basically. Yeah, so...
quality.
No, it's good. It was at Lords. It was for the Hurricane relief game at Lords against the West Indies a couple of years ago. And I think I was in woeful form at the time. It was just, it was one of those opportunities that I couldn't turn down because, like, not many times you're going to get asked to play for the World 11. So I thought, I can't turn this down, but geez, I'm a terrible nick here. I need to go and have some, it's a charity game and you go and have a few throws before, but no, it's really good. And we got absolutely smacked by the West Indies. Andre Russell hit one on the top tier of Lords. So,
wow.
Yeah, he can strike him. Okay.
Fantastic.
He'll go far that. Lad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That MCC game, was that when you played against Yorkshire when I played? Was that the Abu Dhabi day-night game?
Pink ball, where you chirped me for the duration.
I don't think that's my style, mate. What are you talking about?
Not like you to get in the faces of batters, is it? And give people send-offs?
Doesn't sound like me, mate.
Lovely. Love the passion.
I think it's because we had just taught together. I think it's probably more banter in a way. But you were always banging on about how you're going to slog sweep me, weren't you?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you ended up leaving a straight one that clattered into your car. So, see you, mate.
Not that you remember.
No, it's the only thing I remember. I think literally the only thing I remember from that game. Really. I remember you did slog sweep Pato a few times.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy, old Pato. Bless him.
Yeah, he's moved the git there, isn't he? But I don't think we've played against each other too many times. I think white ball would be completely different, but you're probably not going to do that now because I'm not going to get a gig. So
never know, Jack.
You never know.
Reinvent myself like Steve.
Well, we haven't actually played that much against each other, no. Thankfully, because I think you would have the better of me as well. Don't worry about that.
No, mate, you're you never know. Every dog has his day, doesn't it? If you were available from Kent, year before last, you would have played, wouldn't you? But you were injured, and then obviously bubble life this year. Next year, we might do. You never know.
Maybe.
You guys go. We both play well enough.
Look forward to it.
Red Bull aspirations. Are you going to be on the Ashes tour next year, Sam? I hope that you are. But I mean, that's got to be the aim, hasn't it?
You'd probably say that to everyone, don't you?
Yeah, we've got a 25-man squad going at this rate. Yeah,
exactly. look, I want to play Test cricket. There's no doubt about that. And as I kind of alluded to earlier about how much first-class cricket I played compared to someone like Dan Lawrence, that's the most inexperienced format for me. Last year after my injury, we didn't have much T20 left to play. It was just championship cricket. And actually that was the best thing for my shoulder. It still wasn't quite right to obviously go out and try and slog it everywhere. So it really gave me an opportunity just to get my head down for five games at the end of the season. I got back-to-back hundreds, 300s in a row. And I think that proved to me more than anyone that actually I have got a game that could be successful in that format, as opposed to being an afterthought and just playing half a year or whatever every year. Is something that I really wanted to do. With anything, schedules and everything, and different formats obviously have to take precedent from time to time. And with two World Cups coming up, 2020 World Cups, I really want to be a part of that. And that's my focus at the moment. That's not to say I'm not going to neglect championship cricket, but just at this point in time, I'm far closer to obviously playing in those teams and in those World Cups and, say, potentially an Ashes tour. It's not to say if I go and smack it again next summer, maybe I can get on as a bit of a wildcard pick at the end of sneak onto the squad, onto the plane, and who knows. But look, it's something I definitely want to do. It's just finding the time to obviously give yourself the best chance to develop. But yeah, I showed against obviously Yorkshire, one of the best counties historically. Those 300s for me really kind of gave me a boost for that format of the game as well.
Same for the big game, mate.
Yeah, well, but it's nice, like, I've been kind of shoved into a bit of a kind of cubbyhole just to say, right, he's kind of a lower order slogger and a keeper kind of and a fielder. Actually, I'm far more than that. I can kind of bat anywhere in white ball cricket. And yes, I have got a technique that can be successful at red ball cricket as well. So it was good to just get confidence in that game as well, really.
Having said that, you're off to slog a few next week, aren't you, Saraka?
Well, I'll try anyway. Yeah, it won't be through lack of trying, Jack. But that's it, isn't it? Like, this winter, I'm going to obviously focus on white ball cricket because they're the opportunities ahead. And it's great that England have got such depth now across all the formats that actually there's not that much crossover. There's only a few, probably Rooty, Stokesy, Joff. Obviously, the bowlers are slightly different, but batters, Joss. Apart from that, it's pretty much an even split.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah,
absolutely. And now, before we finish, Cos, I've had a little bit of an informant. Heard you're good at a particular impression.
No, absolutely no chance. No, terrible.
I've heard it's one of the best impressions of Danny Morrison we'll ever hear. So I want to hear it, lads. Do you?
Yeah, I want to hear it. And look at the peer pressure. We can edit it out if it's crap, but I'm not promising anything.
You know what's funny is that you can go on YouTube and it's all over YouTube, me embarrassing myself for the Pakistan Super League and IPL. I need a bit of preparation for this kind of thing.
We should have given you a heads up.
Oh, right, come on, man. If it's shit, you're editing.
I'll edit it out. I promise you.
Yeah, promise. Scripture, but like, get that in there. Absolute embarrassment. Right.
Nothing to do with me, by the way. Don't pin this on. I didn't know this was coming.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Go on, the informant didn't say that. Script. Give you a bit of a script. What do you think, Greggy?
If Danny's just finished the match report at the end of yesterday's IPL game.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's a tough one. Here we go! We're here at the pitch report. We've just seen a nice, even covering of grass. The Double D's have won the toss. They're going to swing a couple.
Yeah!
That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I mean,
man.
That was a bit rushed, but I can do better.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. Sam Billings, thank you very much. That was fantastic, mate. Really, really good.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
I think it'll be remiss of us to not mention great Graham Cowdery, who obviously sadly passed away today, Sam. And you probably knew him certainly than any of us. I came across him a few times at games. Lovely, lovely man. But obviously a Kent stalwart and legend. And obviously the name synonymous with Kent. I don't know if you've got any words you'd like to say about the great man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a real shock for everyone. 56 is way too young. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. He was always a very warm, smiley personality at the games and was very outgoing to offer his support to any players as well. So, it's a huge loss. And I just obviously want to send my condolences to the family. That obviously have great links at Kent and just thoughts with them really. And he will definitely be very missed and has obviously been a CLO the last couple of years at all the games. And he was definitely one of the easy guys to chat to about the game after every single fixture. So it really is devastating. And like I said, just our thoughts with his family and rest in peace, of course.
Well said, Sam. Well said indeed.
Well said, yep.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. When do you fly out to South Africa? We might be putting this pad out. You might be able to even listen to it on the plane, weirdly, if you want to.
Perfect. Oh, send me off to sleep, perfect.
There's a few more that can do that as well.
Yeah, there is. I'll tell you that.
I'll listen to Zach's. we're off on Monday. So, we're flying off on Monday and then bubble life for the next probably 3 and a bit months. So,
bit of sun and a bubble.
Absolutely. It'll be a really good tour, won't it? Especially after the IPL. We've seen a lot of the English guys and South African guys all lighted up. So, it'll be a really well contested series. And in this really tough time, it's just great that cricket's back on. It has provided huge entertainment around the world. So hopefully we can put on a bit of a show and, of course, win the series as well for the Barmy Army.
Yeah,
especially.
Absolutely. So, the Barmy Army can't get out there, but obviously Chris was saying just off air before we came on that you haven't got a Barmy Army song yet, so... Any thoughts for a tune for Bilbo?
You must have dreamt about one, Sam.
Absolutely. I'm actually gutted. It's one of those things that you put down in your career that you can't finish. I will still be toiling away at 44 until I get one. So like Steve-o. So I look forward to it.
There you go, Millard. Get onto it, mate.
Good man.
It's just a shame that the Barmy Army can't be in Newlands because I know how popular that tour is. And
absolutely.
I'm sure hopefully in the new year, next year, we can obviously get everyone back in, and the support is very much missed, lads. So we look forward to it.
I appreciate that, Sam. We look forward to getting back and supporting you boys.
Yeah. Wait. Just a bit. Absolutely. Well, go well, mate. Go well. Thanks so much for talking to us. And there you are. Thank you very much, Sam Billings.
Podcast Network.